And you know, he got thrown in the lion's den, didn't he, Daniel? Because he wouldn't bow down to an idol. Because he would pray to the Lord. Definition of an idol is you can see it and you can't hear it. And the definition of our God is you can't see him but you can hear him. And Daniel said, I'm not bowing down to any idols, any images of the king. And he got thrown in the lion's den. And he had three mates as well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they got thrown into a fiery furnace. And nothing touched any of them. Nothing touched any of them. When Andrew mentioned this the other week, he spoke about their bonds being burnt away. And nothing else touched them. Nothing else, not even the smell of smoke on Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They were untouched by it all. When the king looked in, he said, there's four of them. Who's the fourth one in there? I'm sure we only threw three in there. And the soldiers that threw them in, they were killed. They died because of the heat of the furnace. Nothing can touch us, you know. The flames can't touch us. We can walk through the flames and they won't touch us. We can be in the lion's den. We probably are, those of you who still got to work. It can be a difficult place to be. But the Lord is on our side. In the fire, he walks with us. In the lion's den, he shuts their mouth. And when the others went in, them and their family were all. And you know, when I read that, they were thrown in from the top. And the lions got them before they hit the bottom. If you read what it says, before they even touched the bottom, the lions got them. We read that the devil, Satan, has got aspirations to be a lion. Toothless, yeah. He's not a lion. He's only pretending to be a lion. We've got the lion on our side, haven't we? The lion of the tribe of Judah, that's right. We said that the other week. Yeah, and he shall prevail. We just have to keep going. We just have to keep looking to the Lord, following him, depending on him, worshipping him, loving him. We've got this sign on the wall behind me. It says, God is love. You know, he can't love you any more than he already loves you. He loves you more than me. More than anything. Fantastic. And it always amazes me, it shouldn't amaze me, but it does, that he actually knows me. He actually knows you individually. Even to the reducing numbers of hair on my head. Because they're going down by the day. Keeps crossing the numbers out and putting a new number in. That's Steve's new number. Fewer and fewer every day. Praise the Lord. I have to be careful when I go in the sun. S-U-N. Because my head will get burnt. He keeps changing the number because he says, if I can keep my eye on the sparrow, how much more will I, as your loving Father, want to care for you? And so he does. He cares for us. More than we know, more than we can understand. It's a mystery. It is a mystery. Before the beginning of time, he'd got it all sorted, he'd got it all planned, predestined because he knew who we were, who we would be, chosen of God, to be sons of God. It's wonderful. And daughters, but children then. Children of God. Always fascinates me, thrills me, gets hold of me when we read that we are children of God. How can that be? How can that be that me, Rob, David, Joan, we can be children of God? We can, for one reason, because God loves us, and because He bought us with a price. And that price is the blood of Jesus. You know, we come to the cross of Jesus. That's where we lose our sin. That's where we give our sin to Jesus. He's already carried that burden for us, but that's where we give our sin to Him. And through His blood we are redeemed. We are bought with a price. And now we are children. And because of that price, that cost, that immense cost, He's not just going to let us go. He's not going to let us go. It costs too much. You know. So He's on our side. He will care for us. He does care for us. He has saved us through His blood. The precious blood of Jesus. How wonderful is that? A few weeks ago I was reading about Peter. Every time you read about Peter before Calvary, he's always impetuous, chops people's ears off, says, "You're not going to wash my feet." And then he says, "Well, if you're going to wash my feet, wash all of me." And it is earthly self, his human self, trying to be loyal to Jesus. And it was only when his eyes were opened and the Spirit of God came on him, and then he preached and 3,000 souls. And this was Peter, a Galilean, an uneducated man, come from the back of beyond. Did anything good come out of there? Bethlehem and then Galilee? And no. He was an impetuous man. But yeah, I love to read about Peter. Because, you know, when Jesus was left by all the disciples and taken, Peter followed at a distance. He followed. Yes, he made his mistakes. Yes, he denied the Lord. Yes, in the garden he was impetuous. Yes, he jumped out the boat. Yes, he did all sorts of things. But he kept his eyes on the Lord. And you can see as you read about him that he grows and grows and grows. And then he becomes, as we were talking about the other day, a saint of God. Looking forward to meeting him. Because he's a fisherman and I'm a fisherman. I love to go fishing and so did he. But you know, he left the fishing behind, didn't he? You know, there he was mending his nets. And Jesus, and to him and others, said, "Follow me." And they left everything and followed Jesus. Even though at that time they were only growing in their understanding of Jesus. Nonetheless, they remained loyal to him. And they didn't understand, I don't think, even until that last hour when Jesus was on the cross. It was not until Jesus returned and appeared to them that I think that they matured in their faith, and that then the Holy Spirit came on each of them, tongues of fire. That then they grew and knew that this indeed was the Son of God. Before that, their faith was growing. And Peter said that, you know, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. Yes, I do love you. Yes, I do love you. Yes, I do love you. But when the Holy Spirit fell on them, oh, what a difference. And then go into all the world and preach the gospel. And my friend Peter did that. And on that day, 3,000 souls came to the Lord. And everybody heard in their own language. A miracle. These men are drunk. Listen to them. How can they be drunk? Look what time it is. Pubs are not open yet. Say again, David. What time is it? What time it is? No condemnation. That's what time it is. Yes, still no condemnation. So back to Daniel. What an inspiration he is. Two men, Peter, but Daniel. And he walked with God, you know, because he was the only one in the land who could interpret the dreams and the thoughts of different kings. It wasn't just one. And the writing on the wall. It was only him that could. Yeah. He weighed in the balance and found one thing. And that night he died, yes. Yeah, that's amazing that Daniel, close to God, that he could understand these things. And that, to me, has been just one of the things that's hit me as I've been reading the book of Daniel. That the truth of it was that he was close to God. And it's an example to us, a lesson for us that we should be and need to be close to God. And get closer and closer and closer. I'm writing a book, trying to. And it's a simple book. Trying to keep the language simple and the thoughts simple. But time and time and time again, it comes back to drawing closer to Jesus. Being like Jesus. Looking to him. You know, sometimes we'll be out and about doing what we do. And the most obvious place for me and for Andrew is when we're out on our bikes and we're with these guys. And you know what these guys will be like, and you know what their language will be like, and you know what the sorts of things that they will talk about. We have to stand and stand firm. And you know, they do respect the stance that we take. And sometimes they don't realize that we are standing there, and then they'll turn and say, oh, sorry. Because they know and they can see who we've been with. And that's the important thing, that we need to be with Jesus. Be like Jesus. Walk with him. Talk with him. Next week we're going to hear from Andrew about praying for an hour in the day. Maybe 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and 10 minutes later on again. I'm looking forward to that, because that's what happens with me anyway. You can be mowing the lawn, you can be riding your bike, you can be cooking. No, don't be laughing. But you can still just be chatting with the Lord, chatting with God, just talking to him. And you know, I'm sure he loves that. You know, that we can just converse with him. Sometimes we can pray in a prayerful way. Sometimes we can ask. Sometimes we can praise. But we need to just keep talking with the Lord. every day, all the time. Pray continually, continuously, as the word says. Don't stop. I find these days I'm on my motorbike and I'm singing and praising the Lord. It's a good place to do that because you're in your helmet and nobody can bother you. And you can shout. It's good. Yeah. So, Daniel in the lion's den. His friends in the fiery furnace. Nothing could touch them. I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe somebody can tell me. How many kings did Daniel see off? 3, 4? There was Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Belshazzar. There was one more. Right, so it was 3 earthly kings. He saw them all off. 3 of them. And they all had a go at him. And what I can't quite work out in my head when I'm reading it, that between one king and the next king, they seem to have forgotten him. Because he was a leader with Nebuchadnezzar, and then Belshazzar had to be reminded about who Daniel was. But you know, the Lord didn't need reminding who Daniel was. He was by his side. Even when he was persecuted. And you know, I've never been persecuted like that. Certainly people have had a go at me, and no doubt they've had a go at you at times. But the Lord was with him, and I know the Lord is with me too. Praise God. And he will look after us. He does look after us, thank God. Even though I can't cook, he makes sure the food arrives. Praise God. One way or another. Praise his name. Week before last, I was in Doncaster. A number of us were giving out tracts and testaments and speaking to people. You don't always know who to go up to. You know, 2 couples can be coming towards you, and which couple shall I go to? And you just go and speak to one or the other. And I went up to one couple. Would you like a testament? It's free, New Testament. Oh, don't bother me with that. You're wasting your time. Why? Why am I wasting your time? I'm an atheist. I wasted my time. And they were gone. You know, that touched my heart in that in eternity they might have that conversation if they never see or come to the Lord thousands and millions of times. If only we'd stopped. If only we'd listened. If only we hadn't turned our heart away and had our hearts hardened. How difficult and how sad. So we pray that they will come and know the Lord. So, Daniel asked me to say something. 2 words. I've said a few more than 2 words. But there you go. So, trust in the Lord. Get closer to him. Praise his name. Yeah.
Charlie out for a walk, because you meet lots of people and we get chatting to one another. And I met a lady yesterday. I've seen her before. She's in a wheelchair. And her son is with her. And so they stopped and we were having a chat, much to Charlie's disgust. But they were telling me, she was saying that she was afraid to go out, and she waits for her son to visit her, which he does once, twice a week. And then he takes her out and he walks with her. She said, I'm terrified because I've only got one leg. And she said, if anybody should attack me, I'm very vulnerable. So I said to her, I said, well, I'm a Christian. And I said, you know, it says in the Word of God that he gives his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. And I shared with her Psalm 121, and I said, read Psalm 91. It's beautiful how God is always with you and protects you. She said, well, I'm a Christian too. So we got talking, and a son said, he was probably in his 50s, a young looking lad really for 50. And he said, well, I don't really believe in anything. He said, and to be honest, he said, I've not made my mind up. He says, so I'll wait till I get there and then I'll make my mind up. And I said, no, you don't do that. I said, you need to make, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to make your decision. I said, please promise me that you will at least check out both sides of the story before you leave. And he just looked at me as if to say, well, why should she be concerned? But I am. These are precious souls, precious people for the kingdom. And they call her Anne, and they called her son Mark. He was a great lad, a very caring lad, loved his mum, but lived in Sheffield, so he didn't get across more than twice a week. But she's given me her address, so I will pop round and I'll take word for today, because I want to know if she really is a Christian. So we'll find out. So if you just remember them in your prayers, please, and that God, he started something, and he'll finish it. Amen.
Good, really, because no pain at all in the ear. Not any pain at all. Because the amount of painkillers that my body had, because I never take any medication, as Rob knows, the doctor prescribes me anything, I just put it in the house. Never get to take it. But from Thursday up to Saturday, I think I overdosed on the pain relief, to be honest. It was that bad. But no pain now, nothing at all. Yeah. Just need to return to full hearing. Otherwise, I couldn't even do this because it was that painful. Yeah. Praise to the Lord.
I've had two calls from the hospital this week. I went in for a chest x-ray how long since? A month? And they finally got around to... I had to phone my doctor, sorry. There's three lots. It's like an episode. I phoned my doctor up and I said, apparently I'm supposed to phone you because you haven't phoned me. And she just had a look and she said, no further action, you're clear. So that's great. Then I went, they thought I'd had a mini stroke. I don't know, well, I come in here when I told you that one. Right, well, I got a phone call today, weren't it, that one? The one we yesterday. Yeah, that was yesterday. I'm so confused with these. And he phoned me up, the doctor, and he said, "Have you had any problems since we last saw you?" And I said, "No." He said, "No headaches? Because you were getting really bad headaches." I said, "No. I haven't had any headaches since that day, really." I said, "I get normal headaches." I said, "You probably get more than I do. Job you do." And then he said, "What about your vision?" I said, "My vision's fine." Okay. No silly talking, because when you have a thing, you've had a mini stroke, you talk a load of rubbish, which I normally do anyway. That's before you say it. So that was clear. So that's marvellous. And then today I got a phone call regarding my, I had a camera down, they were inspecting whatever, and a what? No, it weren't your camera. And he said to me, "Have you had any problems?" Because without going into nitty-gritty, I had a diarrhea and I had a grumbling stomach, and he said, "How's that been?" I said, "I ain't had any problems at all. The only problem I do get is sometimes I nearly choke when I eat peas or..." What's the other one? Sweet corn. So I said, I've stopped eating them, so I don't choke. So he said, "Well, that seems a good plan." So yeah, everything's great. You know, I've got. He's going to do a where I have to take some stuff or something, and they're going to X-ray it. But I know I'll be fine. So, because I know God's healed me.
Decided that I wasn't going to share it anyway now because of everything that's gone off. And then Grace has just popped something else out that is part of what I was going to just share for a few moments. This is from a book I'm reading, and these are the thoughts of a man that lived nearly 320 years ago. Nearly as old as David. And with what you said with regard to your mother and these prophets and what Grace has followed on with, some 300 years ago, this man said this. He was a preacher. Grimshaw was his name. But he was a fiery preacher. He had at times 5,000 people outside the church listening to him. In North Yorkshire. And he worshipped the same Jesus, the same God that we worship. The title of this part says, "Test all things. Take nothing upon trust, but all upon trial. All is not gold that glistens. All is not truth that goes for truth. Many like infants swallow down all. They take in doctrines without trial by the touchstone of God's word." Now, you know, I say to you folks, you know, what we say, we're praying and we're trusting that what we say is true, but at the same time, we want you to be mature enough that you will test the word, you will dig into the word of God, and ensure that what you are hearing is true. And then he goes on to say, he says, say they are our teachers is an honest, able and learned man. What he tells us is all true. The cup may be gold, and yet what is in it be poison. You know? The cup might look gold on the outside, but it's what's in it. And he says it could be poison. God may reject some teachers as copper, whom men regard as silver. Why are there so many wretched professors of faith? Because there are so many wretched teachers. I thought, wow, he's talking about, you know, professors of faith. He's talking about us as believers. Why are there so many wretched professors of faith? Because there are so many wretched teachers. You know, people have been taught wrong for so many years. They teach people in such a way that it just to either look good, to extract something from somebody. In fact, it should be a giving out. A giving out. He goes on to say, though they talk like angels, regard them not if they walk like devils. So, you know, you might say it, but how are you walking? How's your actions? How are you as an individual? How do you look outside to others? And goes on to say, therefore, by your teachers saying, try their doctrines by their ways. Test. Weigh. Weight against the word of God. He goes on to say, try their lives. Try their worship by the word of God. And he goes on to say, we beseech you for the Lord's sake and for your precious soul's sake, take nothing upon trust, but all upon trial. And I know at times we say, you know, trust us. And we hope to some degree, well, we hope to 90-odd% that what we're saying and what we're doing is right. And if we get something wrong, I hope we're all big enough to say so. Because in doing so, you become exalted. and people trust you more because they know that if you realise that you've said something wrong, you've done something, you know, that they know that they can trust you as an individual to sort of say, well, I made a mistake with that and I've changed it. I know I have had to do it. My doctrine has changed over the years as I've grown closer to the Lord and grown with more understanding of the Word of God. My doctrine has changed. It's been formed because God is so vast and God is so great. And to be able to stand and say, I know everything about God. Well, you know nothing about God if you can say that. Because He is such a vast, unfathomable depth of wisdom and knowledge and revelation and love. I mean, for a start, let's be truthful. The simplest thing that you and I cannot fathom, well, there are two. One is faith. You can't fathom how it works, can you? And the other one is His love for you. Because if He can see what you can see, when you see yourself, you think, well, why don't you just go and strike me down? But it is that love, beyond all loves. He loves you with an everlasting love, a love that cannot be described. It can only be embraced and felt. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants you to realize. You know, it's this thing of growing closer to Him and allowing Him to just come into your life. And as I read, as I've been reading, certainly the middle part of this book, I'm thinking, are you sure this was written 300 years ago? Are you sure these thoughts are from nearly 300 years ago? It sounds like today. But it's even worse today because it's now, it's on TV, it's on radio, it's on YouTube. It's all out there. And it's even worse. And they're reaching more people with their lies and false teachings. And you know that part of Scripture where the Lord says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Cast him into outer darkness. I never knew you. It's frightening that, you know. You know, when we bring a word, we have to stand before Almighty God on double judgment. On what we say and what we do. And, you know, when we bring prophetic words and, you know, you're telling me about, or telling us about people who are prophesying doom and prophesying fear. That's not God. When the Bible says something like 365 times, fear not, and a prophet of God instills fear into the believer and disciple, that does not fit with the pattern of Almighty God. That does not fit with the love of God. Because in God there is always the opportunity of repentance. There's always the opportunity of God redeeming you back. There's always that opportunity. The prophet might warn that if you continue in this pathway, that there is a way. Turn. Turn. And you turn back to God. You know, even in the Old Testament, they had opportunities to turn. David, turn back. Hallelujah. And even into, you know, today, through Jesus Christ, through the work of the cross, through His redemption, through His spilt blood, His sacrifice on that cross, we have that always available to us. We have that always available to us. And we are to just remember that and to walk in that and rejoice in that and know that He's with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But test test things that you're hearing, measure it against the Word of God. Is this God? Does God work like this? Is this a true spirit of God, or is it the wrong spirit? You know, when Daniel was in Babylon, it was basically only him who was the true spirit. All the others were worshipping false gods and idols, and there was only Daniel that could interpret the dreams that had any significance. In fact, even the king recognised that. He said, "You lot," he said, "you're just a pack of liars." He says, "If I tell you what my dream is, you'll make something up to fit it. So you're going to have to find out, first of all, what the dream is. Then you're going to have to bring the interpretation." Ooh. And the amazing thing is, what you've got to realise is, the dream did not come from the devil, so he's on a loser. So he can't tell them about the dream. The dream came from God. So only the man of God can actually receive God's the dream. And then receive the interpretation. Hey. King was pretty smart, actually. You know, he'd learn a few things along his way. So, we need to test the Word constantly. We want you to do that. And if we've got it wrong, we want to know. Because we want to get it right. We want to see God glorified. We want to see Jesus magnified in this precious work that we're involved in. You know, He's called you. He's appointed you for works of service. It's all working together for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God. So, tonight, before we close our service together, we need to pray for Edna. That Edna's spiritual eyes and spiritual ears will be open to the truth of what God is really saying. And that these charlatans, these demonic liars, will be exposed for what they are. You know, I'm sort of conscious that I've had a telephone call yesterday evening, Burundi. And I'm conscious of one when we go out there that we might come into some form of conflict. In the sense that it sounds like, well, the conference that's going to be happening is going to be on the topic of unity. Now then, does that tell you that there's either been some disunity? You know, you have to look at two sides of the coin. And then the other thing is, you see, we talk about unity, but then we bring it to the fact of uniformity. It's a different word. It's a different meaning. Isn't it? Uniformity means that you all come tomorrow, all come next Sunday, all dressed in red. Trousers, a red shirt, you know. That's Chairman Mao, that type of thing. Everybody looks the same. That's uniformity. Unity is that we come together with our many differing gifts and they complement one another. They fit together like the pieces of a jigsaw. And they bring the full picture of the glory and the power and the presence of God. Whether it be standing at the door, whether it be on the camera, whether it be leading the meeting, whether it be playing drums and leading worship, whether it be speaking, whether it be praying for people, cups of tea afterwards, and all of it working together for His praise. And for His glory. Hallelujah. So we'll pray for Edna. I saw on Facebook today a friend of ours, and he's married to an African lady. She's been in the country since 2002. They've been married quite some time, 11 11 years, and he's now, I haven't had a chance to speak to him, but he's written and said that they are about to deport his wife because they say it's a sham wedding. Because she's, for certain things that are not happened, that she's not on the deeds of the house, she's not on the bank account and so on. It's like, oh, is this real or what? So I sent him a message and said, we'll pray for you. Certainly, you know, she's a believer. He rocks backwards and forwards. He's still not got into it. Whether this is a way that God will shake him. You know, God works in mysterious ways. I don't know what he does at times. But again, we need, if we can pray for these people at this time. How's my dad doing? Excellent. Good. Praise God. Oh, Addy. Well, maybe there were angels. Who knows? Praise. You know. We pray. In fact, the last time we were there last Thursday. We prayed with him, and we prayed that, you know, that the angels will be around him and protect him. So if he's waking up in the middle of the night saying he's got visitors, well, okay. Long, yeah. Long as they haven't sort of broken in sort of thing, but I mean, if they've just passed through the walls and what have you, that's fine, you know. But because I believe that God hears and answers prayer. You know, and God is a present God. God is watching over us. He's set watchmen over us. Hallelujah. To protect us and to keep us and to, you know, same when we come for prayer, for healing, and we believe God, and you've heard the testimonies of God's healing power. This is the God that we serve. He's real. Ministering spirits are real. Hallelujah. Use them to bring in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Like Grace says, we've got an evangelistic doggos now. Every time we meet somebody, oh, you know, he's a point of conversation. Every time. Oh, is he a girl? No, it's a boy. Oh, he's too lovely to be a boy. And then conversation starts from there, you see. And we just share Jesus every opportunity we get with them. But praise God. So there's two things there to pray for. My dad as well, that the Lord will just continue to minister to him and strengthen him, you know, and that the Lord will have his way. Amen.